Amen. All right, well, we're there in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And if you remember, last time we were together, we talked about the idea of works and faith. And we, of course, believe here at Verity Baptist Church that salvation is not of works. And we dealt with that pretty extensively in the last sermon. I would like you to notice there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, in verse number 9, here yet another verse that identifies that same truth. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, 9, "Who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." So the Bible is clear about the fact, and all throughout the Bible, it's very evident that salvation is by grace and it's through faith. It's not of works, not according to our works, the Bible says. Yet, there are some who still want to try to deceive us into believing that works are required for salvation. And there are different ways in which people try to add works to salvation in a subtle way and in a deceptive way. And one of the biggest ways that people will deceive others into adding works to salvation is through a heresy that we refer to as the repent of your sins heresy. And today what I'd like to do is speak to you on the subject of repentance. And this is a subject that is often misunderstood, and it's a subject that people are often confused about. And you're there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'd like you to go with me, if you would, to the book of Genesis, the first book in the Bible, Genesis chapter number 6. And what I'd like to do is give you three thoughts to clear up this idea of repentance or the repentance confusion. And if you're taking notes, of course, on the back of your course of the week, there's a place for you to write down some things. I always encourage you to take some notes. I'd like to, in this lesson, give you three thoughts to clear up the repentance confusion, and I'd like for you to maybe jot these things down. The first thing I'd like to show you or bring to your attention is the misconception of repentance. And like I said, repentance and the idea of repentance is something that is often confusing to people, something that they do not understand, something that gets blurred a lot. There's a lot of misconceptions with regards to repentance. And I'd like to begin this morning by addressing the misconceptions of repentance. And the first one is this idea that repentance is always referring to sin. Telling people that repentance is always repentance of sin is an error that quite honestly makes God a sinner. The reason that I had you turn to Genesis chapter number 6 is because in Genesis chapter 6, we actually see the first time that the word repent, or a form of the word repented, repenteth, repentance, is used in the Bible. And I want you to notice that the first time we see the word repent or repentance in the Bible, it's actually God himself who is repenting. Notice there in Genesis chapter 6, and look down at verse number 6. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." So I want you to notice the first time we see this word in the Bible says that it repented the Lord. It is the Lord who is repenting here. Look at verse 7. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth." Excuse me, Genesis 6, 7. "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." So here we see the first and the second time that the word is used, and both times it is a reference to the Lord repenting. I feel like the speakers have an echo. If you could help me with that, I would appreciate it. What's interesting is that the first time we see the word repentance here in the Bible, we see that it is the Lord that repented. You're there in Genesis chapter 6. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 32. Exodus chapter 32. And I'm not going to take the time to go through every passage of repentance, but I'll just show you this just to make the point. And the point is this, that if you actually take the time to study the word repent, repentance, repented in the Bible, what you'll actually find is that the person who repented the most in the Bible is God himself. Now, we already saw there in Genesis chapter 6 that the Lord repented, and he is the first one to repent. And there is some value in this idea of when a word is first mentioned. In the Bible, there is this law of first mention. And whenever a word is mentioned for the first time in the Bible, it's important for us to take notice of it, because God often is trying to teach us something from the first time a word is mentioned. And I think it's very interesting that the first time that the Holy Spirit of God chose to put the word repentance or repenteth in the Bible, it is God repenting. And I think the reason for that is because God wants us to see that this is something that can be done by anyone and everyone, including the Almighty God. You're there in Exodus 32. Look at verse 14. Exodus 32, verse 14, the Bible says this, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." And of course, the word evil in the Bible is not a reference to sin. Evil simply means to bring hurt, and in this case, judgment upon the people. But I want you to notice that the Bible here tells us that the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do. And again, the point that I want you to see is that in the Bible, we see more often than not that it is the Lord who's repenting. It is God who repents. Now, we see people repent as well, and we're going to talk about that. But the reason that we need to understand this is because of the fact that if God is repenting, then we must understand that repentance is not automatically connected to sin. Because the misconception that people have today is that they'll say, whenever you see the word repent or repentance in the Bible, it's repenting of sin. Even if it doesn't say sin, even if it doesn't mention sin, you can just assume that every time you see the word repentance, repenteth, repenting, repent, that somebody is repenting of sin. Well, if that's true, then you would be saying that God is repenting of sin. And here's what we know. We know that God does not sin. God is without sin. So if God, who is sinless, can repent, then we can learn from that, that repentance is something that is not always connected to sin. Now, let's be sure that there are times when repentance is applied to sin. And there are times when people have to repent or should repent of their sins. But what I want you to understand is that just because you see the word repent in the Bible, it does not automatically mean that somebody's repenting of their sins, because God himself repented. The Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3, towards the end of the Old Testament. In fact, if you go backwards from the book of Malachi, which is the last book in the Old Testament, if you go backwards, you go past the book of Zechariah, past the book of Haggai, past the book of Zephaniah, past the book of Habakkuk, Nahum, Micah, and then Jonah. Malachi, Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah, Habakkuk, Nahum, Micah, Jonah. Jonah chapter number 3. And I'd like you to do me a favor, put a ribbon or a bookmark or something there in Jonah, because we're going to leave it and we're going to come back to it. But I'd like you to notice what the Bible teaches about this idea of repentance. And again, we're talking about the misconception of repentance. Telling people that repentance is always repentance of sin is wrong. It is biblically inaccurate, and it is an error that would make God a sinner if that was true, because of the fact that God is often repenting in the Bible. We saw that there in Exodus 32:14, "And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." We saw that in Genesis 6:6-7, "And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." Now, you're there in Jonah chapter 3. I'd like you to look at verse number 9. And notice this again. Jonah 3:9. "Who can tell?" These are the Ninevites. Of course, we're in the book of Jonah. And we've got Jonah, who has gone to the city of Nineveh. And he has preached the judgment of God unto them. And I want you to notice what is said here in Genesis 3:9. They said, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent?" Again, I just want you to notice another reference here to God repenting. Now, they're asking,
Who can tell? Maybe God will turn and repent. Maybe God won't bring this judgment that Jonah has been preaching about. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Now, I'd like you to look at verse number 10, because in verse number 10, we actually see another misconception. In verse 9, we see the first misconception, and the first misconception is this, that every time you see the word repentance in the Bible, it is referring to repenting of your sins. And that simply is not true, because if that were true, that would make God a sinner, because God is often repenting in the Bible. Then I'd like you to notice a second misconception, and the second misconception is this, that repenting of your sins is required for salvation. Now, how do we know that that is not true? Well, if you remember, we spent all of the first lesson dealing with the subject of works and salvation. And we learned that salvation is not of works. We learned about the fact that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. We learned about the fact that for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now here in Jonah chapter 3, I want you to notice, and you need to understand the context. Jonah has came, and he's came to Nineveh, he's preached the judgment of God. He says, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. And these people are getting right with God. Again there, verse 9, Jonah 3, verse 9. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger that we perish not? But I want you to notice verse number 10, Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. And God saw their works. I want you to notice the Bible tells us here that God looks down on the Ninevites, and the Bible tells us that God saw what God refers to as their works. Now, what is it that they did that God refers to as their works? Notice it there. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. Now, here in a moment, we're going to talk about the definition of repentance, and I'll prove this to you from the Bible, but you need to understand that the word repent means to turn. And here the Bible says that God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. So again, we see another reference to God repenting, but I don't want to focus right now on God repenting. I want to focus on the fact that they, who? The people of Nineveh, turned from their evil way. They turned from those things that were bringing judgment upon them. They repented of their sins. That's what the Bible is telling us here. And the Bible calls that works. God calls that works. God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. So telling people that they have to repent of their sins to be saved, we're talking about going to heaven, to be spiritually saved, is an error that adds works to salvation. Now, you might say, well, is there not a place for repenting of your sins? And we'll talk about that. There absolutely is a place for repenting of your sins. But what you and I need to understand, that the Bible, God Himself, identified someone turning from their evil way, and He referred to that as works. And we know that salvation is not of works, it's not something that is earned. So therefore, repentance, or repenting of your sins specifically, cannot be part of salvation, because that would be adding works to salvation. These are misconceptions that are said so much, and they're repeated so often, that people just think that it's what the Bible teaches and it's what the Word of God says, when it absolutely is not. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Matthew in the New Testament. First book, keep your place there in Jonah. We're going to come back to Jonah, so put something there. And go to Matthew chapter number 3, if you would. Matthew chapter 3. Again, I want to be clear. What are misconceptions? Because maybe you're here this morning and you've had this misconception. Maybe you were taught some of these things and you were taught inaccurately or incorrectly. And it's good for you to clear up some of these misconceptions. Misconception number one, every time you see the word repent in the Bible, it's referring to sin. That's wrong. Because if that were true, that would mean that God is a sinner, because the person who repents more than anyone in the Bible is God Himself. So we need to understand that, yes, sometimes the word repentance is being applied to sin, but sometimes it's not. You say, well, when do we know it's not? Well, for sure when it's being referred to God, we know that it's not referring to sin. God is not repenting of sin. Another misconception is this idea that repenting of your sins is required for salvation or is part of salvation. That's wrong because the Bible is clear about the fact that salvation is not of works. And the Bible tells us in Jonah 3:10 that when someone turns from their evil way, that is a work. Jonah 3:10, and God saw their works that they turned from their evil way. So we see that turning from your evil way, repenting of your sins, cannot be something that is part of salvation. And you say, well, why do people have these misconceptions? Why do people think this? One of the reasons is because this idea, this phrase, repent of your sins, is so often quoted and repeated by preachers throughout the ages that people just assume this is something the Bible teaches. In fact, let me just say this. Your King James Bible never even once holds this phrase in it, repent of your sins. The Bible never even says that phrase, repent of your sins. Now, the Bible does teach the concept of repenting of your sins, and we'll talk about that here in a minute. But what I think is interesting, that this phrase is used and used and repeated over and over again by Bible preachers or so-called Bible preachers, and yet the Bible never even uses that phrase once. That phrase, repent of your sins. I'm talking about those words, repent of your sins. Those four words, in that order, that phrase and that sentence structure is never once found in the Bible. Here's what I think is interesting. People will sometimes argue with me. I'll preach something like this or say something like this, and someone will argue with me and will say, well, the Bible clearly states that someone has to repent of their sins to be saved. And what I always ask when somebody says that, when somebody makes a statement, the Bible teaches you got to repent of your sins to be saved, what I always ask is, where? Where does the Bible say that? Show me in the Bible where the Bible says it. Now, oftentimes people don't even know where to go because they repeat things, they hear, but they've never studied it out in the Bible themselves. But every once in a while, people will say, well, I'll show you where. And they'll take me to a passage like Matthew chapter 3. I'd like you to look at it. Matthew chapter 3. They'll say, the Bible teaches someone must repent of their sins to be saved. And I'll say, well, if the Bible teaches that, I'd sure like to see that. Please show me that in the Bible. And they'll say, well, I'll show you that. And they'll take me to a passage like Matthew 3:10, where the Bible says, and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then they'll kind of just look at me. Like, there. And I'll often look down and say, well, I see the word repent. And I see the word ye. But where's the word of your sins? Where are those words? It doesn't say, repent of your sins. It says, repent ye. And then they'll say, well, yeah, but I mean, it's understood that when the Bible says repent, it's talking about your sins. Well, then we go back to the misconception. Well, that can't be true because God repents. And it's not of your sins. Because God is without sin. Sometimes they'll take me to a verse like this. You're there in Matthew 3. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Show me a verse where it says, repent of your sins, where the Bible teaches repent of your sins to be saved. Matthew chapter 4, 17. They'll say, well, how about this one? From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And again, I'll ask the question. I'll say, I see the word repent, but where are these words? Repent of your sins. Because you're adding those words. You're adding that thought. You're coming to the Bible with a preconceived idea that says every time the Bible uses the word repent, of course it's talking about repenting of your sins, and then you're putting that definition onto the Bible, but that can't be true because we see that God repents, and if God repents, then the word repent cannot automatically mean repent of your sins. And God tells us that when someone turns from their evil way, that's a work, and the Bible is clear that salvation is not of works, so therefore repenting of your sins cannot be part of salvation. Boy, it says it right there so clearly. Well, I don't have a problem with what the Bible says. I have a problem with you. Because the Bible says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But what it doesn't say is repent of your sins. Then they'll maybe take me to another verse. And we could do this all day. I won't take you to every passage, but I'll just give you one more just for fun. Mark chapter 6, look at verse 12. Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. Mark 6:12 says this, and they went out and preached that men should repent. And they're like, there you go. See, they went out and they preached that men should repent of their sins. And I'll say again, I see the word preach, I see the word should, I see the word men, I see the word repent, but where does it say of your sins? Where does it say repent of your sins to be saved? I can show you a verse that says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Amen. Can you show me a verse that says, repent of your sins and you'll be saved? You can't, because it's not in the Bible. Now the Bible uses the word repent, repentance, repenting, repentant. Repentance is a concept found in Scripture. Sometimes I'll preach a sermon like this, and then people will accuse and say, oh, that pastor, that preacher, that church, they don't believe in repentance. We believe in repentance, we just don't believe in adding works to salvation like you do. The Bible talks about repentance, but we must be careful not to add what you read in a commentary somewhere, not to add what you read in some theological book somewhere, not to add what you heard on the radio or on the TV or on the internet, and just add something to the Bible that's not there, because the Bible never uses this phrase, repent of your sins. Never even uses it. And people try to take you to proof text to say, well, it teaches, and then they take you to verses that say repent, but they don't say repent of your sins. And we know that repentance cannot automatically, always, on its own, be referring to sin, because the person who repented the most in the Bible is God himself. And God is without sin. And we know that repenting of your sins cannot be part of salvation, because God defines someone turning from their evil way as works, and we know that works is not part of salvation. So we talked about the misconception of repentance. I hope that that's helped clear up some of those misconceptions. That repentance is not always referring to sin. And that repenting of your sins cannot be part of salvation, because it's adding works to salvation. But now let's talk about the definition of repentance. So what does the Bible actually mean when it's using the word repent? Or repenting, or repentance, or repenteth. Go back to Jonah chapter 3 if you would. Jonah chapter 3. I'd like to look down at verse number 9 again. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 9. We saw the misconception of repentance, but now let's look at the definition of repentance. And when I say the definition of repentance, I mean a biblical definition. What does the Bible actually say? Not what do Bible colleges teach, not what do seminaries teach, not what do commentaries say, not what do theologians say, not what do theological studies say, but what does the Bible say? Look, as Baptists, the Bible is our boss. The Bible should be the final authority of all matters in faith and practice. And the question we should always be asking is this: what does the Bible say? So what does the Bible say about repentance? How does the Bible define repentance? We talked about the misconception of repentance. Let's talk about the definition of repentance. And there are two things that you need to understand when it comes to how the Bible defines repentance. The first is this. According to the Bible, the word repent means to turn. We already talked about that. I want you to see it here in Jonah chapter 3. Look at verse 9. Who can tell if God will, notice this phrase, turn and repent. Turn and repent. The Bible serves as its own dictionary. And God will often, you'll notice this in the Bible if you look for it, that God will often put two words that are synonyms next to each other in order to identify for us what those words mean, or what one of those words means, or what the definition is. And notice here, the Bible says, who can tell if God will turn and repent? Why does it say that? Because the word repent means to turn. Who can tell if God will turn and repent, and, look at it again, turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not. So the Bible uses the word turn synonymously with the word repent. We saw it here in Jonah chapter 3. Let me just show it to you in other passages. Go to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. You're there in Jonah. If you go backwards, you go past the book of Obadiah, past Amos, Joel, Hosea, Daniel, into the book of Ezekiel. Jonah, Obadiah, Amos, Joel, Hosea, Daniel, Ezekiel. If you're going backwards, Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. And look at verse number 6. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 6. Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent, look at it, and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Do you think it's a coincidence that when God used the word repent, he also used the word turn? Jonah 3:9, who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away his fierce anger that we perish not? Ezekiel 14:6, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. The Bible is using these terms together because this is what the word means. What does the word repent mean? It means to turn. Go to Ezekiel chapter 18. You're there in Ezekiel 14. Just flip over to Ezekiel chapter 18. Look at verse number 30. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 30, the Bible says, therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Notice it, repent and turn. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Here the Bible, again, is using these phrases together. Repent and turn. Repent and turn. Turn and repent. Why? Because the word repent means to turn. By the way, I don't want to get ahead of myself because I'll deal with this later on in the sermon, but Ezekiel 18:30 doesn't use the phrase repent of your sins, but the concept is there. He says repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions. But please understand this. This is not talking about salvation. This is talking about the judgment of God coming upon a nation. And he's telling a nation to repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions so God doesn't destroy you. Do you understand that nations cannot be judged in the next world, so they must be judged in this world? I always think it's funny when people want to debate with you the doctrine of salvation. When you've got clear books of the Bible, like, I don't know, the book of John, who the Bible actually tells us, the book of John actually tells us that the purpose of the book of John was to teach us how to be saved, and it's the book that brings up the concept and the word believe more than any other book. But then people want to take you to Ezekiel to show you how you got to repent of your sins to be saved. Listen to me, Ezekiel's not where you want to be going for your gospel presentation. Ezekiel is an Old Testament book that's very difficult to understand. And it's Ezekiel dealing with the judgment of God coming upon nations. And he's telling the house of Israel, repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions. But I want you to notice that the word means to turn. According to the Bible, the word repent means to turn. Look, I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you, well, you need my theological experience. And look, I'm just gonna show you what the Bible says. And when we want to know what a word means, we just look it up in the Bible and we let the Bible tell us what it means. We let the Bible define itself. And I think it's clear. We could look at more passages. I won't take the time to do that. But I think it's clear that the word repent means to turn. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? Therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols and turn away your faces from all your abominations. Therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, saith the Lord God. Repent and turn yourselves from all your transgressions, so iniquity shall not be your ruin. Let me just give you one more. Because you might say, well, all those are Old Testament passages. Okay, well, let's just look at one in the New Testament. Go to Luke chapter 17, if you would. Luke chapter 17. You start at the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17 and verse number 4. Luke 17 and verse 4. Notice what the Bible says. And again, this verse I'm showing you is not about salvation. It's actually about a brother sinning against another brother and how you ought to forgive him. Luke 17, 4. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, look at the words, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And I'm not preaching on the subject of forgiveness. I just want you to notice here that the Bible is using the word turn. It's saying, if he turns again to thee and saying, I repent. Why would he say, I repent when he turned? Because that's what the word means. The word repent means to turn. Go to 1 Kings chapter 8, if you would, in the Old Testament. 1 Kings chapter 8. In the Old Testament, if you can find those one and two books, they're all clustered together, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Find 1 Kings chapter 8. And look, this is something that we need to nail down and be clear about and understand what the Bible teaches, because the Bible tells us that we need to earnestly contend for the faith. And the attacks on the doctrines of salvation and the attempts to try to muddy the waters of salvation are literally sending people to hell. And people need to understand, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach? So we're talking about the definition of repentance. What does the word repentance mean? The word repent means to turn. In a very basic way, it means to turn. But I want you to notice that there's another idea that goes along with this word, and it is this: to change your mind. The idea of repentance is actually something that happens in your heart. See, because people say, well, yeah, the word repent means to turn. It means you were going in one direction, and now you start going in another direction. But that's not what the Bible says. Now, sometimes it'll produce that. But what the Bible actually teaches is that repentance is a turn in your heart. It's a turn in your mind. What the word actually means is to change your mind. Let me just give you a couple of examples. 1 Kings chapter 8, look at verse 46. 1 Kings 8, 46. Notice what Solomon says. He says, he's praying to God. He's praying to God about the people, for the people. He says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Look at verse 47. Yet, if they shall, mark this word in your Bible, bethink. Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and, mark this word in your Bible, repent. I want you to notice that the Bible is using the word bethink and the word repent synonymously. Just like it used the word repent and turn, now we can add another synonym, and it's this word bethink. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. This word bethink is an older word that we don't use too often today. But the definition biblically, the biblical definition of the word bethink is to return, to turn, to reconsider in your heart or in your mind. So here Solomon is saying, look, if the people, if they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy far or near. Yet, if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captives and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captives, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness. What is the Bible telling us here when it says bethink? It says, if they reconsider, if they change their mind, the word think is in the word bethink. If they change the way they're thinking about something and they repent and they turn, where? In their heart, in their mind. Then Solomon is saying, hear their supplications. Help them. Let me give you another example. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 6. You're there in 1 Kings. You'll go past 2 Kings, past 1 Chronicles, into 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. The definition of the word repentance is to turn, and it is to change your mind. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 37. According to the Bible, the word repent means to turn. And according to the Bible, repent means to change your mind. Let me just give you another example. 2 Chronicles 6, verse 37. Yet if they, look at the word, bethink. Yet if they bethink themselves in the land, whether they are carried captive, and, don't miss it, look at the word, turn. Notice how these words are being used. Yet if they bethink themselves in land whether they are carried away captive, Yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive, and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, we have dealt wickedly. So it's clear that the word repent means to turn, and the word repent means to bethink. And the word bethink means to turn in your heart, to turn in your mind. We would say it means to change your mind. So what is the definition of repentance? It is a turn in your mind. It is a change of mind. Go to Matthew chapter 21, if you would. Matthew 21. I want to be very clear about what the Bible teaches about these things, because I want you to understand what repentance is and what it is that we're supposed to do with this concept of repentance. So we talked about the misconception of repentance and the wrong teaching of repentance, because we need to just clear that up. Telling people that repentance is always in reference to repenting of your sins is wrong. It is an error that makes God a sinner, because God repents more than anyone else in the Bible. And telling people that they have to repent of their sins in order to be saved is an error, and it is wrong, because it is adding works to salvation, because when somebody turns from their evil way, God refers to that as works. Then we talked about the definition of repentance. The definition of repentance. According to the Bible, the word repent means to turn. And according to the Bible, the word repent means to bethink, or to turn in your heart, to turn in your mind. We would say to change your mind. That's what repent means. And by the way, isn't that the application we see when God repents? I mean, Genesis 6, he looks down on the earth and it repented God that he made man. He's grieved, the Bible says. What does that mean? He's regretting it. He changes his mind. He's like, I shouldn't have done this. And then he kills all of them except for Noah. And there's other times when he's going to bring judgment upon someone, but then he repented of the evil that he was going to do. He was going to destroy them, but then because they did something, they repented, they did the right thing, then he changes his mind and chooses not to judge them, chooses not to destroy them. That's what the word means. So now that we understand the definition of repentance, let's talk about the application of repentance. How does this actually apply to us in the Bible? And there's two ways that we can apply this, and I'd like to explain both of them. One is before salvation, and one is after salvation. What is the application of repentance before salvation? The application of repentance before salvation is this. Because remember, the word repent means to turn, to change your mind, to bethink, to change in your heart, change in your mind. When it comes to salvation, what is the thing that condemns you? What is the thing that saves you? Well, the Bible is clear about the fact that we are saved by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So what saves you? Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. What condemns you? Not believing. So when it comes to repentance in regards to salvation, before salvation, repentance is to turn from unbelief to belief. Let me just prove that to you in the Bible. It's very clear. Because remember, our repent of your sins friends out there, our repent of your sins heretics out there, they like to take us to all these verses in the New Testament where it just says repent. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Doesn't prove anything. But you know that there are some other clear verses that tell you exactly what they meant by that. Matthew 21, look at verse 32. Matthew 21, 32. For John came unto you. This is Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. And he's referring back to what it is that John the Baptist had preached. He says, for John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. So what does Jesus say that the Pharisees failed to do with the preaching of John the Baptist? For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. What did they not do? They did not believe him. Ye believed him not. Then he contrasts that. He says, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. So he says, you didn't believe him, but then there's this other group that did believe him. So look, Jesus is being very clear. What's the opposite of the Pharisees? The Pharisees did not believe, and the opposite of that is that the publicans and the harlots did believe. Here's what's interesting about that. The Pharisees were these religious people that prided themselves on how holy they were, while the publicans and the harlots are known as sinful people. But yet the Pharisees believed him not. The publicans and harlots believed him. Look at the last part of Matthew 21. Actually, just look at the whole verse just to get the context. Matthew 21, 32. For John came unto you. This is Jesus speaking. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, he's talking to the Pharisees. When you saw that the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, look at what he says, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. What is Jesus rebuking the Pharisees for? He's rebuking them for not repenting because they did not believe. Ye believed him not. And he says, if you would have repented, that would have caused you to believe. Repented not afterward that ye might believe him. If they would have repented like Jesus is encouraging them to do, they would have turned or gone from believed him not to believe him. Do you understand? That's not complicated. What does somebody have to do if they want to be saved? They have to go from unbelief or from a false belief and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. When it comes to repentance and salvation, it's turning from unbelief or false belief to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But where is it saying here that you got to stop sinning? In fact, wouldn't it make more sense that if repentance just meant stop sinning, that he would tell the publicans and the harlots, look, you know what a harlot is? Wouldn't it make more sense that he's telling them, you really got to knock this off. You really need to stop sinning. He's telling the religious people, you should have repented. Repented from what? From unbelief to belief. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. So according to Jesus, if they would have repented, they would have gone from not believing to believing. Why? Because the word repent means to turn or to change your mind. And they believed one thing. They did not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They were trusting in their own religion to save them, and they had to turn, change their mind about that, and go from unbelief to belief. Let me give you another example. Go to Mark chapter 1. You're there in Matthew, just flip over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Mark 1:15. Notice what the Bible says. And saying, again, this is Jesus speaking, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, look at it, and believe the gospel. So here, now we have a verse where he's not just saying, repent ye, and nothing else. Now he's telling us what he wants you to do, or what will produce. He's telling us what will be produced if you repent. He's telling them, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So if they repent, what would be produced as a result of their repentance would be the fact that they would believe the gospel. Why? Because he's talking to people that do not believe the gospel, and he's telling them, you got to turn. You got to change your mind on that. You got to go from not believing to believing. Go to Acts chapter 19. Let me give you another verse. Acts chapter 19. Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts 19. Now look, the repent of your sins crowd, they can't give me one verse where it says, repent of your sins to be saved. But I've already given you two, and I'm going to give you four, that clearly state that repentance, when it comes to salvation, is going from not believing to believing. Look, and this should be clear, especially if you're a soul winner. When we go out there and we knock on people's doors and we ask them, do you know for sure if you died today, if you're on your way to heaven? And some religious person says, yes. And we ask them, well, what gives you the confidence? What are you trusting in to get you to heaven? And they say, well, I'm a Catholic, and I've done my catechism, and I go to the confessional booth every week, and I've done this, and I've done that, and I've been baptized. I was baptized as a baby. That's what they're trusting in to save them. Well, that's not going to save them. That's works. So what do we say? We tell them, look, you got to stop believing and stop putting your trust and confidence in your works and put your confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone. What do they need to do? They got to repent. If they're trusting in the wrong thing to save them, they've got to change their mind. The person that says, well, I think I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a pretty good person, needs to stop believing that and start believing that only Jesus can save them, that they're a sinner on their way to hell, and put their confidence and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, period. Acts 19, look at verse 4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance. Now here's why I like Acts 19. Because remember I told you earlier that the Bible is its own dictionary? Well, not only is the Bible its own dictionary, the Bible is its own commentary. So instead of reading all these commentaries by all these heretics, just let the Bible comment on itself. Because in the Gospels, you have, I showed you some verses where it's a little vague. When it says repent, what exactly is being referred to here? And the Bible says that John the Baptist preached the baptism of repentance. And that might seem a little vague, like what does that mean? But here in Acts 19:4, the Apostle Paul is actually going to tell us what that means. Look at it, Acts 19:4. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people. So now Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is going to be a commentary for us, and he's going to explain to us what exactly was it that John the Baptist was preaching when John the Baptist was preaching the baptism of repentance. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people, look at it, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So when John the Baptist shows up and he's preaching the baptism of repentance, when he's going through all those verses that people like to show us where John is saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then Paul tells us exactly what it is that John was actually teaching and what he was actually saying, and he was saying unto the people that they should believe. Why? Because salvation is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. So look, the Bible is clear. And people sometimes, they like to say, oh, those people, they don't believe in repentance. No, we don't believe in adding works to salvation. But if you want to ask us, you know, what do you believe about repentance and salvation? Do you believe that repentance applies to salvation? Absolutely. Listen, a Muslim needs to turn away from his belief in Allah and repent and change his mind and put his faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand that? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. A Hindu needs to stop putting their faith in that false religion of Hinduism and need to repent in their heart and in their mind. They need to turn and change and go from trusting in Hinduism to trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's repentance for salvation. An atheist is not going to get saved continuing to not believe in God. They need to go from unbelief and not believing in God to believing in the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Before salvation, repentance is to turn, to change your mind, to go from unbelief or false belief to true belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Hebrews. Let me give you another one. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. If you go backwards from the end of the Bible, from the book of Revelation, you go backwards, you have Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd, and 1st Peter, James, and then Hebrews. Revelation, Jude, 3rd, 2nd, and 1st John, 2nd, and 1st Peter, James, and Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. This is the last one that I'll show you to prove this point. But I do want to just give you several proof text for this, because the Bible's clear. Matthew 21:32, "For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not, but the publicans and the harlots believed him, and he, when he had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Mark 1:15, "And saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand, repent ye, and believe the gospel." Acts 19:4, "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus." Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance." And he's telling them, look, he's telling them in Hebrews 6, repentance is something that should be pretty basic. We don't have to lay that foundation again. We don't have to reopen that issue. He says, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go unto perfection, unto maturity, unto completion, not laying again the foundation of repentance." Well, repentance of what? Repentance of sin? No, look what he says. "Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works." You know that the Bible actually says that what you should be repenting from is your works. Now, the false religions say, no, repent of your sin. God says, no, repent of your works. Why would God want you to repent of your good works? Here's why. Because if you're trusting in your good works to save you, you're going to die and go to hell. So he says, repentance from dead works. Look at it. What's the opposite of turning from dead works? What's the opposite of dead works? Repentance from dead works and a faith toward God. Because we talked about it last week, works is opposite of faith. So you repent from dead works, and you go on to faith toward God. Not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. You repent from your dead works. Here's what I think is interesting too, and I'm not preaching on this, I'll just bring this up. James says faith without works is dead. We talked about that last week. But here the Bible tells us that works without faith is also dead. So all these people out there that are doing good works, but their faith is not in Jesus Christ, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says their works are dead. They're not going to help them. They're not going to do anything for them. So what should they do? They should repent from their dead works, and they should turn in faith towards God. Go to Revelation chapter 2, if you would. Last book in the New Testament, should be fairly easy to find. We talked about the misconception of repentance. We talked about the definition of repentance. Now we're talking about the application of repentance. How does repentance actually get applied to the doctrine of salvation? And the way that repentance works in regards to salvation, before salvation, repentance is simply to turn from unbelief to belief, from a false belief to a true belief. If you're trusting in some false god, false idol, false religion, false works, no God, you can't go to heaven while trusting those things. You have to put your trust, your faith, your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's going to require you turning, you changing your mind, you bethinking yourself and saying, I'm going to go from unbelief to belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's repentance before salvation. You say, what about after salvation? Well, after salvation, and I want to be clear of this, God definitely expects us to be repenting of our sins, but not to be saved, to be right with God. God wants you to repent of your sins, not to be saved, but because you are saved. Amen. We already talked about it last week, that repentance, we talked about it in the last lesson, that salvation is not of works. And we're going to talk about it in the next lesson, that you can't lose your salvation. And what we need to understand is this, that no matter what you do, you can't earn it, you can't lose it. But once you have it, once you're saved, God wants you to have a good relationship with Him. God wants you to have a right relationship with Him. And there is this aspect of repenting of your sins, not for salvation, but because you're saved. Not to stay saved, but to be right with God. Now, there's lots of places we could go for this. I don't want to take the time to take you to a lot of places. I'm just going to give you a couple examples. Here in Revelation chapter 2, in Revelation 2 and 3, we have the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the seven churches in Asia. And these seven churches are seven congregations of believers. And he's constantly telling them to repent. And they're already saved. He's not telling them to repent to be saved. He's telling them to repent to get right. I'm not going to take the time to take you through all of those. Let me just give you a couple examples. Revelation chapter 2, look at verse 5. This is Jesus speaking to the church at Ephesus. Revelation 2, 5, he says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." So notice that Jesus is telling a church here, you need to repent. You need to remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. Remember, because they've gotten backslidden. He says, remember how it used to be, and repent, and get back to the things you used to do, and do the first works. And then he says, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place. He doesn't say, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy salvation. He doesn't say that. He says, remove thy candlestick. Well, if you go to Revelation 1, it's clear that the candlesticks represent the church. He says, I'm going to take away your church. I'm going to stop acknowledging you as a church. I'm going to stop blessing you as a church, except thou repent. So does God want believers to repent of their sins? Yeah, after you're saved, he wants you to repent of your sins, to quit sinning, to get sin out of your life, but not for salvation. We don't do anything for salvation. Once you're saved, God is your heavenly Father, and you want to have a good relationship with God, you ought to repent of sin in your life. Let me give you another example. Revelation 2, look at verse 21. Revelation 2, 21. Here we have the church in Thyatira. Revelation 2, 21. Notice what Jesus says to this church. He says, and I gave her, he specifically is speaking to a woman preacher, a Jezebel, who's committing fornication and adultery and preaching heresy. And he says, and I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. So look, I'm not up here telling you, you don't ever have to repent of your sins. I am telling you, you don't have to repent of your sins to be saved. That would be works. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And if your faith is in something else or someone else or you're trusting in something else, you do need to change your mind about that, repent of that, and put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But once you're saved, you should be repenting of your sins. In fact, you should be repenting of your sins every day. You know why? Because you sin every day. Go to Acts chapter 17, if you would. Acts chapter 17. We've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. Acts chapter 17. The Christian life is not just salvation. You understand that? Salvation is just the beginning. In fact, the Christian life is a series of new beginnings. We're constantly not getting saved again. We're saved one time. We'll talk about that in the next lesson. But every day we begin afresh. We begin new. The Bible says that it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. His mercies are new every day. Great is thy faithfulness. So every day we get to begin new with God. It is a series of new beginnings. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So yes, when there's sin in our lives, when there's sin that needs to be dealt with, we should confess it, we should turn from it, we should repent, but not for salvation. It's because of salvation. Is to have a right relationship with God. Now, let me just share a few verses with you out of Acts in regards to repentance, and we'll finish up. I'd just like to highlight these for you. In Acts 17 and verse 30, if you're there in Acts, go to Acts chapter 17 if you would. And verse 30, look at what the Bible says. Acts 17, 30, the Bible says this, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. How can the Bible say that God is commanding all men everywhere to repent? Well, when you understand that repentance can be applied, because the word is not just automatically always talking about sin, that it can be applied to salvation when someone turns from unbelief to belief. And for those of us that are saved, it can be applied to sin because we should be turning away from sin unto righteousness. So God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And that is clear, and we understand that because it applies to both salvation, not repenting of your sins, but repenting of unbelief, and after salvation. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 21. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, the Bible says, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, look at these words, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That is in regards to salvation. That is going from unbelief to belief. Repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Acts 20 and verse 20. Excuse me. Go to Acts 26 real quickly. Acts 26. We'll finish up right here. We've been talking about this concept of repentance. We talked about the misconception of repentance. What are the misconceptions out there? The first one is telling people that repentance is always repentance of sin. That is an error that makes God a sinner. To tell people that every time you see the word repent in the Bible, it's repenting of sin. That's wrong because the person that repents the most in the Bible is God himself, and God is without sin. And telling people that you have to repent of your sins in order to be saved is adding works to salvation. It's wrong, and it's adding works to salvation because God said that he saw their works when they turned from their evil way. Then we talked about the definition of repentance. And the definition of repentance, according to the Bible, is simply to turn, and it's simply to change your mind, to bethink. According to the Bible, the word repent means to turn. According to the Bible, the word repent means to change your mind. And then we saw the application of repentance. We saw that before salvation, repentance is to turn from unbelief or false belief to true belief, to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw that after salvation, repentance is to turn from sin, not to be saved, but to be right with God, because you are saved. I want you to notice here in Acts 26 and verse 20, we find both repentance before salvation and repentance after salvation. Look at it. Acts 26, verse 20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God. That's salvation. And then he says, do works meet for repentance? The word meet means suitable. He says, you should repent and turn to God. That's salvation. And then once you've repented and turned towards God in faith, believing on God, turning from unbelief or false belief, then you should do works. Not for salvation, but you should do works meet for repentance, that are suitable for repentance. And we should turn from sin, not to be saved, but because we are saved, and because we'd like to be right with God. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. And Lord, we thank you for the clear teaching of the Bible. It is an unfortunate thing that false teachers and false preachers muddy these clear teachings. And because of their false teaching, it makes something that's so clear and so easy to understand, something that needs to be taught and explained in such a way where we have to begin with the false teaching and dismantle that, the misconceptions, so that people can understand the clear teaching of the Bible. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be people who understand these things. Help us to be people who love the Bible and who ask the question, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible teach about these things? Help us to always be crystal clear on the doctrine of salvation. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.